Hey, I'm Terry Molinaro, and I believe that we as the body of Christ are here for such a time as this. I love to say this, blessed to be a blessing, that we are called to be a light. And look, friends, if we don't do it, if we aren't the light, who's going to be the light? The body of Christ has always been a house of action. And hey, who says we can't have some fun along the way?
Terry, it's Ryan Seacrest. You're in broadcast. I'm trying to be in broadcast. There's something in common. Good luck to you, Seacrest House.
This is the Church Acts Podcast. Hey there, welcome back to the Church Acts Podcast. Join with me. It is a long time coming, but we have my wife, Magdalena. Welcome so much to the Church Acts Podcast. Welcome back, or welcome to?
Welcome to. Hey.
Yeah, there you go. But I just feel like because like we're obviously like we live together and like you've been in the studios and stuff like that with me. So sometimes I forget that you actually haven't been officially on the show. And you had this idea to for today's episode. What did you want to do?
I wanted to interview the Terry Molinaro.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I like this. This makes me a little bit on edge because I'm so used to the other way around. And what people don't know is we actually do this in our personal life a lot. I will be the one to always like ask questions. But then as soon as someone asks me a question back, I'm like,
I don't have an answer.
This isn't how it's supposed to be.
You know? And like a wife moment, or you'll ask me a question, but then you already have an answer to the question. So then you're just asking yourself a question.
Maybe I'm trying to prove a point or something like that.
What's the point?
Well, it depends on the question, right? But no, I'm really happy that you're able to sit down with us. And this is obviously a new dynamic. So people listening at home, sorry if it's filled with a lot of awkward comments and a lot of spaces, but who knows? Let's just jump right in. Like I'm excited that you're here, you know, because I love you and I've wanted to like find ways in the past, like even in the past, setting up microphones and we're doing it. But then I was like, oh, like, I don't want the first introduction, you know, for you to the podcast to be me being like, I don't know what to talk about. And we just ramble on. Like, I want there to be, you know, purpose. And then you had this idea and I was like, hey, let's run with it. So you're going to interview me and I have not seen these questions. I do not know what you're going to ask, but I'm ready for this candid conversation. So if you're just joining in with us, like,
welcome.
Yeah. Who knows? Who Good knows? Luck. Hopefully this will be edifying somehow, but
now I got some easy questions. So let's start it off. What's your go-to drink? I'm sure the people know. I've listened to your podcast. We know that it's espresso, but What makes or breaks an espresso in your opinion?
Oh my goodness. That's a rabbit hole. So I drink a few different things, you know, but usually I have a cappuccino. Okay. And I've been getting, see, I fit perfectly in those Italian stereotypes.
Yeah, you do.
You know, so I found out that the Italians, they don't drink cappuccinos after, I think it's like 11 in the morning. Like it's like a sin. So I've been trying to maybe adjust things, but because I realized I was like, man, why am I not feeling like the greatest? But I'm realizing I'm drinking all these like milk based like drinks all the time.
They're tasty.
They are very tasty, but this is how I do it. So it's just like a double shot. So a proper cappuccino is, and you have to have proper cappuccino cups. That's key. And it has to be like an Italian brand.
And what is a proper cappuccino cup?
It's a 6-ounce cup.
Essentially, it's a bowl.
No, not a bowl. We do not drink the bowl ones, okay? So if you, yeah, because you have your experience from William's like cafe or whatever.
So tasty. Shout
these
out.
Canadians trying to make, you know, cappuccinos. It's not the way, Magna.
It's not the way.
No, so it's a 6-ounce cup. It's small. It's smaller than you would think. And it's 2 ounces of espresso, so the shots each, and then 4 ounces of milk. And that's the ratio. And I usually put a little brown sugar in there sometimes with a little bit of cinnamon on top. That's what I usually have. But I also like something that you do not like, and maybe I'm rambling on, but the mocha pot on the stove, like the stovetop
thing. It's always burnt. It always tastes burnt.
Well, yeah, but you don't even drink coffee in the first place. But it reminds me of my grandmother, like the whole smell and like just it's very nostalgic for me.
Is that an insult or a compliment to your Nona?
Did I say it reminds me of my grandmother? It smells like my grandmother.
Reminds you.
At first I was like, shoot, did I say it's burnt coffee? Smells like my grandmother, actually. No. But it reminds me of her house, you know, because you put on a pot and you'd sit around the like the table and they just pour it and it would be a good time. And I just really like that, but a little nostalgic about it, but there you go. That's the way I have it. If I'm going to Starbucks though,
do tell.
I'll get a mocha because they're pretty good.
Mediocre. Yeah. This man looks so triggered.
But they're pretty good. They're pretty good. But I don't. We don't really drink Starbucks because, you know, once you start making your own and get into the nuances of things, I feel like people don't even really know. Like, people are always so surprised by the amount that I've spent on, like, that we've spent on a grinder or whatever, you know, to grind the beans. Like, we shouldn't probably
tell people prices. No, we shouldn't tell people because we don't want to be judged. But I'll put it this way. My favorite espresso story is we were getting married. And now I'm taking over just for a quick second because it was funny. And a friend of mine was like, oh, I found a really great deal on our espresso machine at HomeSense. It's like $120. And I just knew already. I was like, if it's only three digits, it's probably not great. But moving on.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. This is not a podcast about coffee, but here we go. Like the actual portafilter is a different size. Like you have to get your 18 gram basket, was it 21 gram and then something else gram for the single shot. But I think it's 10 gram, but can't do it if it's too small because then it'll just taste like watered down. Right. Anyway,
moving on, seeing as I'm sure people aren't coming to your podcast to listen about
on my podcast, I can make you a nice coffee, you know.
It's true, we're taking applications.
Is it it's not even coffee though. Like I feel like people come over and like they expect like something and then they want me to make this like weak stuff.
It's manja cake.
Yeah, like we went to some Italian slang, but when I went to Magna's parents' house for one of the first times we were still dating, they were like, hey, do you want a coffee? And I was like, okay, like I'm probably gonna get like some Keurig or whatever, you know, those ones where you put like those little plastic pods. And then they put it was like this container, boom, on the table. And then they put like a spoon. And then I'm looking, I'm like, what the heck am I supposed to do with this? And
so it's everyone stirring. That's Canadian knows that it's instant coffee.
What is instant coffee? I but the funny thing was, is like, no word of lie, I'd never seen this before. Like I've never seen it before, ever. So I was like, what do you do with this? Anyway.
Fair enough. Moving on. Next question. I ask probably all of my leaders this when we do our leadership meetings and every context that I'm in. But what has been your win of the week? My guess is that you survived a couple of days without your wife being home, but I could
actually
be wrong.
I was going to say that. Well, I was actually just going to say surviving in general because there's been a lot of change right now. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know win of the week. I think a week is a too small of a time period. So I'm not 100% sure.
Great.
Well, I don't know. Like sometimes it's one of those things where it's like, I know that some of the things that I'm working towards. And right now I feel like there's some, you know, there's some transition. Like people know in the show that like I used to have a radio show that was live at a certain time, but then we switched up to playing different kinds of music and my position there has changed and even like the hours that I work have changed. So there's a lot of change, but with that it's good. You know, I try not to ever jump to conclusions for things. So I guess we're going to leadership here. I try not to jump to conclusions until I've at least, you know, been through things for at least a month.
Right.
You know, and I've actually been able to experience them and walk through them because obviously there's going to be that time period at the very beginning where you just don't know what amount of energy it's going to take. Like if you're well suited for that, you know, until you're doing the work, you can't really judge it. So I'm kind of like still in that that trial and error period.
Yeah, I think that's a win. I think a lot of people need that reminder that, you know, when we go through seasons of change, that it takes some time to adjust to and not to say, oh, this isn't working when you've only been like day one.
Yeah, you don't know, because you don't know. Like this could end up being an amazing thing. And for me too, it took me a while to figure this out, but I would sometimes think that, man, like why is it taking me so long to grasp something new? But then I realized the way that I learn is I really have to wrap my mind around something and be able to understand all the different nuances of things. I need to kind of see the full picture. But then once I remember, so it might take me a little bit longer to get to that point, but then once I am able to do it, then I'll never forget it. So that sometimes it takes a little bit longer at the beginning. Like some people, they just jump right in and can remember and grasp it, but it takes me a little while sometimes. But then once I do, then I can, I try to like optimize it and stuff. But
well, I do have a question, but that reminds me, we've been privileged to be with a wonderful man of God the last couple of weeks and learn from him. But I really appreciated
podcast coming soon.
You don't want to miss it.
Well, it could be coming soon or it could be coming a long time from now because I think it's so good that I actually want to really make sure that I'm praying that it's the right time when it's released because I think that we cover a lot of really good things.
Yeah. But well, one of the things that he said that, you know, we have that phrase like practice makes perfect. And he was like, that's a really terrible quote. And he said, because wrong practice will never lead to right.
Yeah, no, I know.
Like perfection, right? Yeah, and he's like, if we do the right practice, then we'll get better at things. But wrong practice will continually lead us down a bad path. And I thought that was always really interesting. But
well, and that's why it's so important to always be not just looking to yourself for your own understanding. Mm. Well, you know, the quote Proverbs or whatever, because it's true, because, you know, God could have something completely different in store for you. Yeah. That's why it's good to always be sensitive to the Holy Spirit so that you're not practicing the wrong things.
Right.
You know, because eventually what happens is like if you're practicing the wrong things, you're going to get ultimately the wrong result in your life.
Whew. People practicing wrong faith. I'm just saying. Oof.
No, it's so true. But you don't even know at the beginning, right? Because if you're not seeking, you're just going based on what everyone else is doing. That's why you need wisdom from God.
I mean, I've seen those examples at the gym.
Yeah, people be like hip thrusting with machines that are like, bro, what are you doing here? I feel violated just looking at you.
It's entertaining. But
that was mean, actually. I feel violated just looking at you. That's so mean.
Moving on. All right.
Poor guy.
Well, you have a podcast, which we are currently on, called The Church Acts Podcast. And so you and I, we've been talking a lot about this in our context. But my question to you today is, what has God been speaking to you specifically about being a house of action? And the follow-up question to that is, what does taking action in everyday life look like?
Okay, so let's do the first one first. So like what does that mean to me?
Yeah, because like you talk about action. I know a little bit about the vision of your podcast, but what does it mean to be a house of action?
A house of action, it is not complicated. It is just, what are we doing here? What are we wasting time? Are we filling seats? Are we just wanting to go to church and hear the same stories but not apply it to our lives and then just be in the same place 20 years down the road? Or are we actually in this life?
Right.
You know? And this vision started a little bit when I was younger. I was around 18 years old. And this is the point in time where I guess I say that this is when I really came to the Lord, but like, I don't know, people will argue this point with me, but because I was looking around and the people that were like, you know, in my circles, and there was this sense of, hey, like on Sunday, on youth group, we do these things and we say these things and we act a certain way. But then throughout the week, like I knew what everyone was like involved in, and that I even sometimes have a hard time sharing the story because it makes it sound like I'm just on the outside looking and being like hypercritical, but that wasn't it. It was even myself. Like I see myself too. Like we're saying these things. Yes, we want to know God and all these things and we're worshiping and everything, but then we're not actually living a lifestyle that is conducive to that. And I thought to myself, I do not want to be one of those people who just spends my whole life thinking about these things, saying that I want these things, but then actually like denying the power thereof, you know? So that's what it is. Like when I say a house of action, it's, listen, we need to be people of action. We can't just be sitting on the sidelines. We can't just be, you know, doing nothing. We need to do something. We need to practically be the hands and feet. And that in seasons has looked like, okay, if there's a need, fill a need. And, you know, sometimes it looks like bigger, more long-term goals, but that's what it means to me.
I love that. And so then the follow-up question is, what does taking action in every day look like?
Well, it goes back to before where if you have the wrong practice, you're going to get the wrong results.
Right.
So everyday life taking action is you want to make sure that the action you're taking is proper action as well.
Yeah.
So it means definitely not being passive. And I find especially with a lot of men, and this is not like hating on men, but I've noticed that sometimes there could be this passivity or there could be such a bent on needing to provide in one area that we're sidetracked and we're making the wrong things the main things. And so taking action in everyday life for me is, okay, Holy Spirit, what do you have for me to do? And then just simply like going out and just living, just being authentic. You know, the people who are, to me, like the ones that really exemplify a great life as a Christian are the ones who are just like, just being real.
Yeah.
You know? And so for me, like, I just want to be real. Like even in my time with the radio show that I had for like even the past 8 years. I remember when they asked me, I didn't want to be in radio, but God was like, Terry, I want you to do this. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to be afraid to say anything on that show, and I'm just going to be real.
Yeah.
And I tried to predicate the whole thing on that. So when you had people go on me like, oh, you know, and like put the radio voice on, I was just like, hey guys, this is what I'm going through. And actually, like, I'm confused about this in my life. And so I just think it's about being, you know, just real, just living an authentic life, but doing things.
Yeah.
You know, not just kind of standing around.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think when I was, you know, prepping some questions and whatnot, I think it's really easy to take for granted when, you know, we live, obviously we're married, we have the same values. We especially value hearing the voice of
God.
Do
we? Let's talk about laundry. Do we have the same values?
I just put laundry on right now, okay? So how we do it, the context of how we do, we get it done. That's all that matters. We value
having clean clothes. We get it done or I get it done.
We are married. There is no I in marriage. Well, there is, but technically there's a
marriage. Yeah, there is. Okay. I did that the other day too. I said something and they called me on it. I was like, oh shoot. Okay.
We are partners. We are. Anyway.
There's no I in we.
But I was thinking, we talk a lot about, you know, hearing God's voice and being led by the Holy Spirit. But I think it would be helpful to explain, like, if you can walk people through that, because I'm sure that there are people listening to your podcast that is like, Terry, that is really great advice to just be led by the Spirit. And you make it sound so simple. But what does that look like? Like, if I'm a new Christian, or maybe, you know, I'm new to being actually like taking action. It's not just like, okay, I got saved, that's cool, I go to church on Sundays, but I actually want to hear God's voice for me. I mean, the Bible says, like I read it in my devotions this morning, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so is it just I read my Bible and God's going to talk to me? Or how do you hear God's voice?
Well, it can be that. Mm. I think of actually our friend Dennis. He was with us not too long ago. And we were doing a church together, and maybe it was him, maybe it was someone else, actually, now that I'm thinking back, I can't remember who said it, but they were talking about, they were in like a schoolyard, and there was all these voices going on, and there was everyone speaking, but they could clearly pick out the voice of, I don't know if it was their, like, their brother or like a friend or something like that, and all these voices. Now, the only way for him to be able to do that is for him to have spent so much time that he recognized the voice. So I think a lot of times God's going to speak to you in different ways, maybe even at the beginning. Maybe this might be as simple as a dream. That's kind of where I started. Like, God, I just pray that you'd speak to me even in my sleep. Now, why is it the sleep? Is there anything mystical about that? No, it's because your mind is also still and you don't have a bunch of distractions. But I think that the more you get into the word, the more you're going to start to understand God's character.
Right.
And then you're going to be able to start seeing him and hearing him as he shows up in everyday life. And then as you continue to build that, I personally have some very radical views on this. I personally want to hear the voice of God as clear as I hear your voice or anyone else around me. And I want it to be instant communication and to and from. And I remember at one point in time, I was praying about this, and God's like literally spoke to me in that moment, said, now you're thinking outside of the box. And it's so true. And that isn't something that I've necessarily like achieved. Not like it is something you can even achieve, but that is something that I continue to, you know, want to really work for. But man, we need to be spending the time. So that's where I would say, like, the foundational thing is, if you want to get to know God and you want to build that relationship, at a very base level, be getting into the word.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, just give me wisdom as I read this. Like, show me. Like, I've heard people say, show me, like, you know, Jesus in this, and you just get into that and you start to know the character. And it's kind of like, maybe I shouldn't use this example, but kind of like a dating profile or something like that. No. And you're reading and you're like, oh, okay, like, this is what this person's about,
right?
You know, and then you get to know them, and then the relationship only grows from there.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, when we read the Bible, like, practically speaking, I started understanding my Bible a lot more when I got a study Bible. Because there's some things that you read and you're like, I have no sweet context of what's happening. And I think even just on a really basic level, it helps having that. I mean, if you want to go really deep, you can get like a Strong's Concordance and do that study back and forth and looking in Greek words. But really simply is just having a study Bible and opening up that way. And you're right. I think doing a character study on Jesus has been really helpful.
But even and if you're finding that hard, because at first it's going to be hard, but you hunger for what you feed yourself with. And, you know, there are times where the enemy kind of used that for me and was like, oh, like, it's kind of like boring. You don't really want to read this. But I remember once I was reading and after like a long time of not reading the Bible, many, many years ago, when I still lived at home with my parents. And honestly, it was just like refreshing, so refreshing to my soul. And I wasn't even reading anything that I thought was like so profound. Just simply by reading it, you know, stuff was kind of breaking, you know, and I was able to, you know, just get that clarity. But if you are having a hard time with that, like, make sure that you even, you can even, there's many teachers that are so gifted and anointed. Like our pastor's one of them. There's other people that can be found online. Like, you know, some of my greatest times of teaching were listening to John Bevere and all his studies over and over and over again as I was driving to and from work. And this just started to stir things because he's very gifted, just like pastor, our pastor and some other people, to take concepts that are maybe more hidden and veiled in the Bible and then bring it into our vocabulary in 2022 and explain what it means practically, you know?
Yeah, context is king, right? And but I also think as time's gone on, at least in my devotional life or when I'm listening to, you know, our pastor or somebody else, sometimes it's overwhelming trying to take notes. I used to almost like take notes as if I had to re-preach their whole series. But instead I started asking God, would you show me the one thing that I need to take away from this today? And I think that's really important because then you're leaning in a little closer of God, what do you have for me today in this moment? When I open up my Bible, what is the one word, the one verse? Like, what's that one thing? But speaking of, you know, being a house of action and stuff, I was thinking how oftentimes our culture and especially church culture is that we act on, you know, kind of what's going on around us, what we see, how media is affecting things. And I love that we need to hear God's voice before we act on some stuff. And you're like, okay, where's that question? I can see him deep thinking. Is how can we be better listeners? Like, yes, we hear the voice of God, but how can we, instead of being moved by what we see around us, by the culture, if we're being a house of action, and let's say, you know, I'm a listener and I'm thinking, well, Terry, like the church I go to, like, I don't really see a lot of people doing action. Like, it's like what you said, they're going through the motions. There's nothing really. So how can I maybe change that in my own life? That if I don't have a visual person that I can look up to doing these things, how can I become maybe a leader in that area that I listen to the voice of God and I start taking action, even if no one else around me is?
You know what? It's not as complicated as you might think. You start to stir it up. So if you're in a church right now, and you feel like nothing is happening, I think people extremely underestimate what one person can start to stir up.
Yeah.
Honest to goodness. And I think that the way that you do that practically is you start serving. You start serving. And you'll start to be shown things. You pray into this, of course. God, give me wisdom. Where do you want me to be? Like, I'll tell you, before I got to a position of influence when I was speaking over the radio, I served, I was always serving. I worked on like a promotions department on, we called it the street team, where I'd go set up tents. And if it was pastors at churches, if it was something simple as someone spilt something on the ground, I'd be the first. I'd grab something, I'd clean it up. Before that, I was serving in a capacity at a local gym. Right. Before they even hired me, I was serving as a volunteer. And before that, I was just driving around and I was praying and I felt like I needed to go in and apply to work at like a local gym because my heart was open to that. But it was always predicated like on serving and stuff. So I think it's, that's what I would say, to start serving. Where can I help out here? And then God will show you, and then pray, God, show me these other people. Because here's the thing, when you start taking action, that's a very contagious thing. Yeah. It'll start to stir people up that you thought were like just dead. I'm amazed. Sometimes like I'll be like, you know, I don't really know if this person, you know, has capacity for something, but then all of a sudden their heart is stirred and it's like, I see a different side to them. Mm-hmm. And think about yourself even.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you could be just down and out and discouraged, but then someone who's just like electric comes around you, like even the person that we just recently hosted, and they just stir you up again. So I think that's how to kind of get momentum going. But listen, momentum's a hard thing to start up, but you don't do it alone, right? Sustained momentum is that's difficult over the long run, but that's almost like a different question.
That is a different question. That's good. I'm like listening. I'm like, I have the privilege of being married to Terry, and like I get to hear not only his podcasts when they go on air, sometimes I get to hear them as they're being recorded, like today. But I really enjoy his wisdom. And so take notes. Take notes, friends. I was doing my devotions a couple days ago and, you know, the busyness of life. And I was like, oh, I need to do all these things. Yeah. And I just felt like God was like reminding me that it's out of my being comes my doing. And we're talking about being a house of action, being a person who takes action. I think so often in our church lives is that we forget that we need to first be with God before we start doing things for him. And so kind of bouncing back to that question too, of like, how do we get this momentum going? Well, my encouragement to people listening too would be to spend time with God, spend time being in his presence, because yes, he's called us to do things. Yes, we're called to take action. But if we don't have time with him, it's kind of hard to want to. Okay, let me put it in a marriage context. If I'm not spending time with you as my husband and you ask me to do laundry or something,
let the record show, I don't just ask you to only do laundry all the time.
No, okay? It's an example. It's an example. He's lovely.
Yeah, because I do the laundry in this house, okay?
It's an example, but you know what I mean? Okay. Like, it's out of, if we've had time together, it makes it a whole lot easier to do the things and to know what things need to be done. If I'm never home and I don't see our home and I haven't spent time being with you, it's easy to miss what needs to get done. Mm-hmm. And so that would be my encouragement too, is to spend time in God's presence. And if you're like, man, I'm feeling really drained, then there's power in community, and find somebody that you're like, man, they're taking action and they encourage me. That doesn't necessarily have to be an in-person like meeting like this, how we're gathering. Sometimes I think listening to, like what you said, John Bevere, somebody that is taking action that you can learn from, that's going to stir up your spirit and your heart.
Yeah, because you can also get yourself into trouble if all of a sudden you find yourself hanging around the wrong type of people.
Yeah.
And the wrong type of people could even be wrong type of people for the current season that you're going in. Right?
Amen.
Because if you're listening to me and you hear me, apart from using discernment of what God's speaking to you, and I'm like, take action. But then you're someone who is coming from a place of bitterness. Mm. You can take action on something and you can completely miss God's will.
Right.
When maybe you're not supposed to take action. Maybe the action is to kind of stay where you are and then work on that.
Mm.
Or else we're going to just keep breeding unhealthy leaders.
Right.
You know?
Well, and that comes back to what we're saying. We need to hear the voice of God. Because you're right. Someone, you could be like, take action. Well, maybe God's calling you.
Burn the boats.
To wait and to rest, because maybe you've been operating in your own strength and striving. And so taking action might look different. It might not be, you know, guns a-blazing. I'm building churches or whatever. Like,
I'm building churches.
You know, maybe that taking action looks like actually sitting on the sideline for a little bit and resting and being with Jesus.
That is so true. And just like anything practically, when you take a step back sometimes, then you're actually, you know, have the capacity to come back and do things. But I would also encourage people too, that as you take time off, don't always take time off with the thought of, I'm just going to go back that much stronger. Like, you take time off and like actually rest, you know, and God will maybe show you something different. Cause maybe you were going about it a completely wrong way. And, you know, especially if you find yourself in like this constant formula of like getting burnt out and then serving when you're refreshed and then getting burnt out, like clearly there's something broken here, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes those things, you can't jump back into it. It's not working.
And I want people to know too, because like sometimes it's really easy to listen to people and think that they like it's easy. They got the formula. They're doing everything right. I feel like I've been racing through my life the last few weeks, if not like a month. And I've been trying to get into the word and I want to spend time in prayer. I've spent a little time in prayer. And today after weeks was one of the first times I was able to actually sit down and read the word. Now I've tried to listen to it and I've been listening to like other people or whatever, but actually spending time because of a lot of busyness and frankly, just feeling like tired sometimes.
Yeah.
And so I recognize that is extremely important, but I just want people to know that like, listen, like even the people you're listening to, like we are all in this together. So do not get discouraged if you're feeling like I'm having a hard time carving out this time, because we all have to be intentional and we all have to sacrifice some things or move things around sometimes in busier seasons. It doesn't just come easy. Like Megan and I aren't here like floating on a cloud, you know, with the cream cheese, the Philadelphia cream cheese angels or whatever.
Cream cheese, but no, that's not the, that's seriously. Not
well,
the
if we keep eating the cream cheese, we're going to be sinking through those clouds. Okay.
Yeah. Just not ideal. Not ideal. And so I kind of had one question left for you. And
that's too bad.
I know. I know. Just for this time.
We get a round two, maybe.
I'll be back.
Okay.
I would love for you to share, what's the future of Church Acts? I know that's a big one. I know you're navigating that, but what are your hopes and moving forward? What can people, I don't want to say expect, because I think that you are leaning into exactly that, listening from God and then taking action for the podcast. But what are some things on your heart where you're like, I would really love to do this, or, you know, and I'm, you know what I'm saying?
Well, what people can expect is, I think people can expect for me to not always have the right things to say, not always have specific vision as much as like I want to, but they can always expect me to be relentlessly transparent as I'm just seeking the Holy Spirit for what He has for us.
Yeah.
So I know that sounds a little bit vague, but that's what they can expect, and I honestly hope that I can deliver on that. But I always want to be real. Like that's why I've said it a few times throughout this year, especially in the mid year. It was pretty difficult for me to even do the podcast because I was so busy with so many things, and that I did not like that. I did not like that because I felt like I was doing a disservice to people. So I always want to be real. I always want to be transparent, and I just want to, you know, help people. And so you can definitely expect that. Now, as far as like where I'm thinking of going, like I would love to continue to be doing more like conversations, because I think there's so much power in conversations, and I know so many people who can just offer up, you know, so much wisdom from their past, and this is how we grow together, and just continue just sharing the things that I personally be going through. You know,
I love that. And you didn't say this, but as your wife, I will gladly boast in you. And I think that people can rely on you being consistent. And that's one thing, like, if I can honor you in that you have been consistent in the last 2 years. Is this 2 years already? Three. 2 years.
I think we're coming on three.
That's wild.
Well, not for a while, but it's still past two.
Okay. Well, two and a half, two and a quarter.
I don't know, because COVID time is like, doesn't exist. We could still be in 2020. We don't know.
I don't know. 2023. That's not happening. No, it's too close. But you have been very consistent. And I know your schedule, and busy, I think, is an understatement sometimes. But you have been very intentional at making sure that this happens and that you're spending time with God. And sure, there are moments, there are probably some podcasts that you're like, yeah, that wasn't my best. But you're still showing up and being consistent. And talk about being a man of action, that like you've said you're going to do this and you've committed to it. And I think that's even a testimony in and of itself, because you said the stats for a podcast is what?
It's like after seven episodes, usually people quit.
Yeah, come on now. 7 years. Let's go. Let's keep going.
10 years.
20 years.
No, did you know that at the beginning, I just kind of had this thing where I was like, listen, I want to make a 10-year commitment. I want to make a decade commitment. You know?
Heard it here.
Wait, no, it's already been said. So I'm going to have to add this to the list of ones to delete if I ever am like, you know, get too busy or whatever. Like, take this episode off. But I just want to keep showing up. And because I don't want to entertain people. Like, I hope people that are not like bored to death and sleeping, but I don't just want to have entertainment. I want people to be encouraged and I want to light that fire. And sometimes the fire is like motivation to start doing stuff. And sometimes it's like a boldness that you do not stand alone in your beliefs. There are people all around you. Not only that, heaven is watching you. Right. We're here. And, you know, we have a lot to say and we have a lot to accomplish. So let's do this together and let's get some work done here. Let's stop sitting around.
Let's be a house of action.
Let's be a house of action.
Lastly, on that note, Tier, I would love if you would pray for your listeners, especially the people that, you know, or maybe needing to take action and they feel that, maybe they're scared, or the people who are listening and they're like, I want to hear God's voice. Would you pray? Would you pray for them? And then we'll close it off.
Well, Holy Spirit, I thank you so much that, that you partner with us. And it's crazy. You know, I think back to even the past few years, and we go to the beginning and we count down and we're all excited for New Year's. And, you know, we make plans and we think that we know what the year ahead is going to look like, but then, you know, we look back at the end of it and we're like, whoa, like I did not see that coming. I didn't see all these things, but I thank you that you partner with us, Lord God. And I thank you that if we are intentional to step out and say, you know, step up and step out and say, God, like, listen, I do not want to live a passive life. Like, I get this. This is the truth. Like, what else do I really have? Like, am I just going to, you know, work and then I'm just going to, you know, save up retirement and then go lie on a beach and then die one day and it'd be over? Like, no. You know, for those who are standing up and say, I do not want that. I want to live a full life where I'm living for you, Lord God. I just pray that you would be with them and I pray that you would give them wisdom and I pray that you would help all of us be people of action, Lord God, that you'd show us even practically. You know, as Magna was mentioning earlier, sometimes action, of course, is not about stepping up and stepping out all the time. Like certain seasons, taking action is actually like a friend of ours was doing recently, saying no to some things or changing some things, freeing up their schedule, opening up for you to even be able to speak to them and them, you know, being able to be in a position to hear. So I just pray that you give us wisdom, help us discern this season that we're in. And we ask all these things in your name. And I just thank you by faith, Lord God, that you are with every single person who listens and is listening right now, Lord God, in their specific circumstances and situations, whether they're on top of the world or feeling like everything's falling apart. I thank you that you are with us all and you're good to give us what we need if we just step up and ask. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
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 Thank you for having me on your podcast and interviewing you, even though it was my idea. So that sounds a little strange.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I was like, can you interview me?
No, I asked.
All the compliments, please. That's so funny. But hey, you, thank you so much for being on. Like, this is the first time. You know what? We should do this again. If you actually want specific questions, perhaps like asked, how do people even reach me? This is the problem with not having a lot of social media stuff going on.
Do you have an email for this?
I don't know.
Well, we should figure that out and then find ask
me
questions.
Find me on Facebook or find me on Instagram and send me a DM.
Love it.
And then I probably won't see it until I go on Instagram.
So, in other words,
my biannual trip there, and then we'll go from there.
So, you're going to be waiting a long time, but ask us questions.
But it's going to be quality, baby. It's going to be quality. We'll have time to save up for a third microphone or something. That's funny.
Perfect.
Well, hey, thank you so much for being on. And I know that you have a lot to offer, so I know it's 100% not going to be the last time you're here. So, yeah.
Groovy. Look forward to it.
Okay. Catch you later.
Bye.